A reading from the book of Genesis. Abram told Sarai, "Your maid is in your power. Do to her whatever you please." Sarai then abused her so much that Hagar ran away from her. The Lord's messenger found her by a spring in the wilderness, the spring on the road to Shur, and he asked, "Hagar, maid of Sarai, where have you come from, and where are you going?" She answered, "I am running away from my mistress Sarai." But the Lord's messenger told her, "Go back to your mistress and submit to her abusive treatment. I will make your descendants so numerous," added the Lord's messenger, "that they will be too many to count." Besides, the Lord's messenger said to her, "You are now pregnant and shall bear a son. You shall name him Ishmael, for the Lord has heard you, God has answered you. This one shall be a wild ass of a man, his hand against everyone, and everyone's hand against him. In opposition to all his kin shall he encamp." Hagar bore Abram a son, and Abram named the son whom Hagar bore him Ishmael. Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore him Ishmael. Ebum Domini. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Who can tell the mighty deeds of the Lord, or proclaim all his praises? Blessed are they who observe what is right, who do always what is just. Remember us, O Lord, as you favor your people.
Give thanks, Lord, for he is good.
Visit me with your saving help, that I may see the prosperity of your chosen ones. Rejoice in the joy of your people, and glory with your inheritance.
Give thanks, Lord, for he is good.
Dominus vobiscum. Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Matteum. Jesus said to his disciples, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not drive out demons in your name? Did we not do mighty deeds in your name?' then I will declare to them solemnly, I never knew you. Depart from me, you evildoers. Everyone who listens to these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on rock. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and buffeted the house, but it did not collapse. It had been set solidly on rock. And everyone who listens to these words of mine but does not act on them will be like a fool who built his house on sand. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and buffeted the house, and it collapsed and was completely ruined. When Jesus finished these words, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as their scribes. Verbum Domini. Yesterday, Doug Keck and I did a bookmark on a new publication entitled Mother Angelica Talks It Over. And so it's a book, it's a of these talks that she gave in the very early days of the network. The network was just a year old. They were still using the garage studio. And they had brought in a large group of high school students there. And Mother would give them an initial talk, and then there was a guest using some discussion on the topic that she had raised. And so this book is about those initial talks that she gave and just wonderful insights that she had. Well, you may have read in the recent National Catholic Register that Doug Keck is retiring in his role as president and chief operating officer of EWTN, but thankfully he's going to be continuing the bookmark program and Spitzer's Universe, two programs that he initiated. And just full of gratitude for his 29 years of service, what a talent the Lord brought here. And you know, Mother Angelica, of course, built this network and was the great instrument that God brought this about, but God called other people. He had to for this to be successful. And many of them, like Doug, took a risk, had a culture shock, really. He grew up in Long Island, and he was a rising star, if you will, in the cable industry in New York City. He had his great potential future for himself and the cable industry and financial opportunities. And yet in this article in the Register, it talks about, you know, a couple of things that had impacts on his own life. One was the marriage encounter that he and his dear wife, Teresa, made that really got them to focus their life on putting God at the center. And then the Curcio movement that he made that weekend as well. But he noticed something as he was rubbing elbows, as this article says, with major sports, media, and entertainment personalities of this era. This would have been the early 1990s. He noticed that something was missing from their lives and indeed from his own. And here's what he said, as quoted in this article. Fame didn't make them bad people, it didn't make them good people. But he emphasized one thing that being famous did not make them was happy. So I started to think, what's missing in my life? Well, maybe God. So I had that in the back of my mind. And then he came across EWTN. he would record on his tape recorder. Do you remember tape recorders and audio tapes? He would record programs, and then he had a Walkman. Do you remember the Walkman? And he would listen to that as he's doing his different work around the house, the different programs on EWTN. And he's thinking to himself, you know, that these were wonderful programs, but maybe he could help polish them up a bit, make them a little bit more professional. And maybe I'll do that post-retirement. But he came to Irondale, he met Mother Angelica, and as he was at another occasion looking for a house on Long Island, he had this put on his heart by the Lord that he needed to not buy this house in Long Island because he'd be taking a job for a lot less pay. So Terry, the family, they all decided, yes, let's go to Alabama. This is what God is calling you to do. And just the talent that he brought here and just the clear direction, a great mentor and friend to myself as well, will be missed. But thankfully, as I said, he will continue to be around with his book, Mark, and Father Spitzer's Universe show. So maybe you want to send him a note of gratitude for his service and all that he's done for EWTN and will continue to do. And this article concludes with him saying these words, that he would encourage any Catholic with a talent to offer, to consider as he did how God might be calling him or her to put that talent to use. You know, we recently had this beautiful Holy Hour Tuesday with these young Catholic professionals. So young people, they're professionals, and yet they want to keep God at the center. And so we had this beautiful Holy Hour with them. We have a lot of young people that have come here now that are employed here at EWTN and putting their talents and their skills and being able to speak to their peers in a new way. And we're grateful for their presence. And the article concludes that Doug is saying, if God is making a radical call, God will prepare you to walk through that door. But then you have to discern whether you have the guts to do so. After all, he noted in the Gospels, Jesus was far happier with the servant who went out and put his talents to good use. And that's what we're called to do, really. You don't bury what you have been given. So as our Lord today is talking about, there's two ways that we can build the structure of our lives. And being a carpenter, his father was a carpenter. They would have been involved in not just working with wood, but iron and stone and houses and building these things. And so he uses this analogy. There's two ways that you can build the structure of your life. One is on sand. And when these difficult things come along, it's going to collapse. It's going to be totally ruined. The other way you could build it is on solid rock. And when you do that, then yes, the winds will come and the rains and the floods will come. But you're set solidly on that rock. That rock is Christ. The rock is our faith. That's what we're to set the structure of our lives upon. And we'll be able to hand the buffets that life sends toward us. And it does, to all of us. You know, when I thought of this article of Doug and the risk that he took, he and his family, the sacrifices they made to come here, what a culture shock, right? From New York City, that environment, and growing up in that, to coming here to the South, as beautiful as it is, and the good and the Southern hospitality that is experienced here, it's quite different, quite a different culture. And yet, to have this call and to take this risk. So, one of the chapters in this new book, my mother talks about the theology of risk. And she's talking about talents, you know, that we've all have talents And she says, you can't bury them and say, oh, now this is too risky. See, today, Mother said, we no longer have a theology of risk. We want everything nice and comfortable and assured. Got to have assurance. You got to be sure it's going to succeed. You don't want anybody to think you tried something and failed. You never want to fail. But you see, Mother continued, the whole gospel is one risk after another. So if the Lord gives you a vocation to be a Christian, that's a risk. And in some countries, that's a real risk. Our brothers and sisters who are dying for the faith. The Lord gives you a vocation to be a Christian, that's a risk, because you stand up sometimes. You stand tall and you stand up alone. Alone sometimes. So you think about the Gospels and Peter and Andrew, James and John. They leave their boats, they leave their nets, they leave their security, and they follow the Lord. And so there's an element of that risk too in following the Lord. That we don't always know where things are going to lead. And you know how the Lord in today's gospel, he talked about that it's necessary for us to do the will of my Father in heaven. Not just to know it, but to do the will, to act upon it. Mother talks about the reality in this book about her own struggles sometimes to do God's will. So here's what she said. She said, it doesn't mean that I like it all the time. It means I do it. I make choices. And sometimes those choices are hard. God asks me to do things I don't want to do, and believe me, he and I have a lot of conversations, some of which I could never tell you about because I don't always like what he asks me to do. But I do it. I grumble a bit. Sometimes I grumble a lot, but I do it. Now, as I love much and as I grow, I will like what he does. I will say, oh, okay, Jesus, I don't care what it is. I'll do it. I can tell you right now, I'm not at that point, but I'm going to strive for it. Now, this is 1982, so she had some many years of experiencing the Lord's providence, and I know grew in that just docility to doing the will of God. That's the essence of holiness, St. Teresa of Avila tells us, is doing the will of God in our life. One final point that I wanted to make also, this is from Mother's book, and Doug and I both really liked this phrase that Mother used about how we can just live half a life. That many people today just live half a life. So here's what she said. Some people today only live half a life, the human life, the life they can see, a thing they can understand. But they never get to the invisible reality that in this place, there is the Lord God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That in this temple, us, be it ever so imperfect, be it ever so faulty, is God. To see that all these people embody the Trinity, that takes a lot of faith. You've got to go beyond your eyes and your face and your hair and your intelligence. I've got to see that invisible but ever-present and real reality. And she concluded by saying, if you believe in Jesus, you have the greatest gift God could have ever given you, because you have with you always a presence unseen, but a very real and very loving presence. So just a couple of highlights again. Don't live just a half a life, just that which you can see, you can understand. Know the living presence, the loving presence of God, of the Lord Jesus who's with us all days until the end of the world in a profound way in the Mass and the Blessed Sacrament we receive. Be willing even to take risks, and God will do great things. Grateful so much for Doug and his family's service over these years. Maybe you want to send him a note of gratitude.